Second playoff edition of the 2018 True Blue LA podcast. I'm Jacob Birch, Eric Steven. We've seen two games. You and I were talking very briefly before the show. Two of the least stressful Dodger playoff games that I can remember.
Yeah, so we're recording on a Saturday, 2 days after we recorded the NLDS opener, and the Dodgers have allowed the same number of runs as they did the last time we recorded. Two shutouts to start in order than expected on the starting pitchers, but it worked out swimmingly, I would say. You can't really ask for much more than that. They're up to nothing, look pretty good. They've hit home runs. It's heading back to Atlanta. And, Walker Buehler's on the mound for Game 3. So they're looking pretty strong in this series right now.
Yeah, they scored in the first inning both games. I know the runner reached third in the night at the very end of the game last night. Has a Brave reached third other than that?
That is a good question.
I don't think so.
Acuña, you mentioned last night, right? No one did last night after Acuña.
Okay, yeah.
I didn't even think about it in those terms. That's kind of crazy.
I notoriously tend to have a hard time watching playoff games. I watched almost all of the last two games. I had to step out for a second, but I was still following along the whole time on my phone. And then they score early. The pitchers look locked in, and there's never a moment where like, oh gosh, what's going to happen? So this is just, yeah, I enjoyed it thoroughly. More of this, please.
Good Lord. Not only has no Brave reached third other than Acuña, but against Ryu, they only reached second twice.
Yeah.
It was in the fifth and the ninth inning in that game. The last part was against Alex Wood, but yeah, so the Braves have not been in scoring position this entire series. I didn't even think about that. It's insane. The thing about like Kershaw, right? The like current Kershaw is like these have to be like sort of couched in relative terms. He's still like excellent major league starter. He's not super Kershaw or whatever, like he used to be, right?
Well, but appropriately, the transition that he's trying to make is the transition that I think most famously Greg Maddux made. And had he been allowed to pitch the knife, he might have had himself a Greg Maddux game.
A Maddux, right? Exactly. The thing with Kershaw now is like he'll give up home runs. Last postseason, he gave up 8, which was a record. He had 4 starts and a relief appearance, but for the most part, they didn't hurt. The one in Game 5 of the World Series was a crusher, and it probably haunt him forever. But just in general, they're generally like solo home runs. They are oftentimes early in the count. Sometimes first pitch when a team tries to like ambush him on a first pitch fastball. And it just happened. That happens. We've seen that a lot, like this year, last year. And so right away, Acuña took the first pitch of Game 2. And Acuña's great, by the way. He's like hasn't done much in a series because no Brave has, but like super fun to watch. So really happy that he gets a national stage. He started the game with a double. And all you're thinking, like, you know, after the previous night where they were up early 4-0 or 1-0 in the first and 4-0 soon after, you thought, the Braves might score first here. They look pretty good shape, and then they got Acuña to third with one out. Kershaw got the infield in grounder to hold him, and then got struck out was it Nick Markakis at that point? Yeah, to get out of the inning, and that was like his most stressful point of the night because like they just didn't do anything after that. So that's sort of like this, you know, Kershaw was magnificent. We talked about like teams, you know, we've seen this with great pitchers in the past, like who hang around the strike zone. Like the teams try to like swing early as to try to not get into bad counts, but sometimes it works against them because like Kershaw was like had excellent command last night. He was throwing the strike after strike, and all the Braves were doing was just kept hitting ground balls. Like he got 12 ground ball outs last night. He struck out only three, but like the Braves were just on first or second pitch hitting like ground outs. And like he was through the sixth inning in, I think, it was like 60 pitches, I think. And then like it was only 85 pitches through eight. And so there were, like you were saying, there's a chance like he could have, you know, he could have pitched the ninth. Kenley Jansen was warming up in the top or the bottom of the eighth. And when Kershaw, like when the ninth inning started, Kershaw went out at the mound. It was a little bit of a surprise because I was thinking they're just going to bring Kenley in here, but they didn't. And then so the crowd, of course, going nuts. But it was just a ruse to get the Braves to sort of alter their plan. It had Lucas Duda or any other left-handed hitter been up, Kershaw would have been allowed to face him. Robert said, but once the Braves pinch hit for Lucas Duda, that was it, and it was sort of a ploy. And then they ended up burning Tyler Flowers as a result because they pinch hit another lefty for him to face Jansen, but Jansen got out of the inning unscathed. So, yeah, but so Robert's going to a hearty boo. But Kershaw got a really nice ovation by going off the mound. It's like a weird... like they like a nice moment out of that, even though Roberts was like lustily booed after as he went back to the dugout. But yeah, it was Kershaw's best playoff start ever. Like he's never pitched into the eighth before, so that was something. And it was great. Like it was after they did the switcheroo with game two and game one. So there was all that sort of built into it. So it made for like a really, really kind of fun sort of week.
And we've hinted at it before, but game one, I'm sure all of our listeners are aware, but we should just make sure we touch base just how great Ryu was.
Oh man. Yeah. So like Ryu, like you know, overstated. He had a 1.97 ERA in 15 starts in the regular season. So like he was really good. And like we talked to you about at Dodger Stadium, he was excellent. He pitched seven scoreless on in game one. He had eight strikeouts. So like on the year in 10 starts at Dodger Stadium, his ERA is 1.02. 68 strikeouts and six walks. So like it's ridiculous. Like 10 starts, six of them have been scoreless. So he was great. It's like a great thing for Ryu because all the stuff he's been through. Like he was a big game pitcher for them in 2013, 2014, his first 2 years, and then just sort of wiped out by, you know, the shoulder injury. He had surgery in 2015. It wiped him out for that year and like half of the next. And then when he came back, he made one start, but then he had like elbow problems. And then so he had surgery after the year to correct that. And so one start in 2 years. He had a decent bounce back last year, but they left him off the playoff roster because he was sort of the fifth starter, the one on the outside looking in, and that was sort of tough for him. But what a rebound, man. He's fully removed from the surgeries. He's like very sharp this year. It's been amazing. So it's a really nice like sort of redemption story a little bit. And yeah, so he was excellent. And, you know, like it's only two games and like the old underlying theme is like, you know, it's still a little bit controversial that the Dodgers sort of made the move to like go from Kershaw in game one, as we all sort of expected. But right now, just the immediate results, it sure looks like Dave Roberts made the right choice, like pitching both of those guys on 5 days rest. And look, the proof's in the pudding. They haven't given up a run yet, so looking pretty good so far.
On the other side of things, the Dodgers offense, especially in game one, looked like prime Dodgers offense. Like, take pitch, walk, hit, home run.
Yeah, and well, and like no one personifies hitting home runs and walking more than Max Muncy. Yep. So he like sort of, you know, a lot of, I think Justin Turner said it, a few other people said it, but he just controls the strike zone very well. And like, what a, you know, there's no better story this year on the Dodgers than Max Muncy, or no bigger surprise either. But yeah, three-run homer in game one. Also walked three times, so... and he stole a base. I guess this was a double steal if I remember correctly, later in the game, but like, it puts him near and dear to my heart, because there was all these stats floating around like, these players in the postseason are the ones who hit a home run and three walks in the same game. And one, there's like just a very small handful. One of them was Eddie Murray, which is my favorite player. And then the only one besides Muncy to also have a stolen base was Eddie Murray. So I was like, all right, two peas in a pod. That's great. But yeah, so they hit home runs. Even in game two, Manny Machado, he had a bad game one. He had three strikeouts and a hit into a double play in his four at bats. So, like, you know, it was a bad game. But it was funny because after the game, I think Pedro Mora talked to him. I didn't. Postseason is weird because there's like MLB regulated stuff that's in the interview room. And that's like usually the Knights starting pitcher, the manager, and one or two players from the team. And then it goes for both teams. So, like, these are like there's stenographer, there's people. Keeping track of this, but then there's also at the same time clubhouse access, and so those players aren't going to be in the clubhouse, so you sort of pick your poison which one you're going to, and so I was in the clubhouse for after game one and just trying to get some other perspectives, and it just sort of works out that way. But yeah, like Machado said, his quote was like, "Pitchers got to eat too," and I thought that was kind of funny. and then he homered in game two, but yeah, it was funny because he homered against Anibal Sanchez, and like he's 8 for 17 with four home runs against Sanchez, so it was a nice little matchup that worked out well. And then Grandal added one too, so it's nice because Grandal is like healthy and not injured, not battling anything right now. We've seen that in the past where he kind of gets worn down in the end, later in the season, or slumps. After last year when he only started two postseason games, he is locked and loaded, and I would imagine he's going to start just about every game for the Dodgers in the postseason. So looking good. I mean, it's hard to poke holes in a team that hasn't given up a run, and they're up 9-0 in the series right now.
So moving on to game three. So we're recording this Saturday afternoon morning. Yeah. We'll have that up to y'all tonight. Dodgers play tomorrow, Sunday. Walker Buehler going for the Dodgers. It's hard not to feel equally as confident going into game three as we have been in games one and two.
Absolutely. Like, you know, Buehler, like you said, as well as Ryu and Kershaw have been pitching, you know, Buehler's been their best pitcher, like, since the All-Star break, I think. He has the best stuff on staff for sure. This will be his first playoff start, so there's getting all that out of the way, that kind of a thing. But there's never a point where, like, at least that I've seen, where I'm going to be sitting there and going, man, I'm really worried about Walker Buehler's confidence in this situation. Like, he is a confident young man, and rightfully so. So yeah, the Dodgers are in good shape to potentially sweep. The Braves are going to go with Kevin Gausman. There was some talk about maybe like Sean Newcomb. He pitched in relief in game one, briefly. Because Mike Foltynewicz had to leave early because he was bad. But there's talk about him possibly starting. But if he doesn't, it's all righties this series. So the Dodgers have stuck to their sort of platoony lineup. And so that means like Matt Kemp and Chris Taylor and Brian Dozier haven't started at all. You know, it's happened. So, like, it'll be interesting to see if they do face a lot of righties, like how they sort of navigate that and get those guys sort of mixed in. Because you might see an off start here and there if it continues. But I think as long as they're winning, I don't think they're going to change much. But yeah, that's sort of where we're at. And it's interesting. They you know, the Dodgers played their first two at home. There's a very real possibility that their next home game will be 10 days after their last one, because the Brewers are up 2-0 on the Rockies in the other NLDS, and the Rockies similarly like the Braves, have not done well offensively. They've scored 2 runs in that series total. But they're going to Coors Field, so things could change in a heartbeat. But if the Brewers sweep, if they just win the series, the Brewers would have home field against the Dodgers. If the Rockies come back and win, the Dodgers would have home field, so they would open the NLCS. This is all making a lot of assumptions, you know, knock on however many pieces of wood you feel necessary. But basically, the Dodgers are playing, they're guaranteed to play at least one more home game. It's either Wednesday game 5 against the Braves, Friday game 1 against the Rockies, or Monday the 15th. Game 3 against the Brewers. So, there's more baseball to be had at Dodger Stadium. So that's a good thing, I think.
You mentioned Kevin Gausman going for the Braves has been really good for the Braves in kind of iffy and average. If we include his starts with the Orioles, anything else we should know about him going in? Assuming he's the starter, obviously.
Yeah, I think that's going to be the case. He was actually, you know, his season, you know, like he was with the Orioles, who ended up losing 115 games, and then got traded to the Braves at the trade deadline. He's been better with the Braves. You know, he had a 4.43 ERA with the Orioles. He's 2.87 in 10 starts with the Braves. So, you know, he's 27. He was like one of the top, very top prospects in baseball. Dealt with some injuries years ago. He's been, you know, sort of a mainstay of the rotation for the last like 3-4 years, maybe 5 years, I guess. But there were, you know, differing some issues early on in his career. But I think he's not the like high strikeout guy that he was sort of like on the way to becoming. He hasn't his strikeout now compared to like previous years, or as I guess maybe especially this year. So not sure what's going on there, but yeah, I think, you know, they still, he's someone the Dodgers could, you know, still, you know, score against. So we'll see. Nothing really stands out to me. I guess you mentioned this when we were off air. He was actually drafted by the Dodgers in 2010 in the sixth round, but didn't sign. Drafted by the Orioles, but he was the fourth overall pick in 2012. I'm just looking at some of his splits. He actually this year has reverse splits, which is a little weird in that righties hit him better. It seems like power is the big thing there. Yeah, it's heavily favored that the Dodgers are going to not only win the series, but probably sweep. So we'll see. But if it does go beyond game 3, it'll be interesting to see if they go with Sean Newcomb, or I guess maybe Julio Teheran is the other option there. He's also on the roster. Not really sure what they're going to do, but for now it's Kevin Gausman in game 3. So that's sort of what the Dodgers are going to focus on first.
Sure. And yeah, I think there's so much, I knock on wood, I think more frequently than you do. So, if there is a game, I'm only not speaking of game 4 just because it seems pretty unclear as to what the Braves are doing. So if the Braves do, you know, work up some magic, this team did win a lot of games this year. To force a game 5. We'll have an episode for you then. I'm not sure what we'll do or when we'll record if the Dodgers do win either game 3 or 4. Probably we'll at the very least wait for the other NLDS to finish so we can have kind of recap this series and move on to the next. But I know before we finish, you wanted to talk real quick about Kershaw's presser at the end of the game.
Yeah, and you. And first of all, you have a lot of wood laying around. If you have all this, you have readily knockable wood. Man. Yeah. So yeah, it was funny. So this whole thing about switching Kershaw from game one to game two, you know, it was a surprise just because we didn't think they would actually do that. But you know, everyone was sort of cagey about it. You know, before game one, before game two. I think it was pretty clear that Kershaw was annoyed by it, but like not, he was very professional about it. But he said, you know, the Dodgers, this was before his, before game one, actually, when he said this, but he said that he had a conference call with Roberts and Honeycutt, and they sort of told him the decision. And he said, his words were, they explained their reasons and I accepted it. That was like, just very like cold matter of fact, like I understand what's going on, you know, but he didn't, you know, that was about all he would say on that. And then so it got to switch to last night after the game, and of course Kershaw had the great game, and he's sort of a little more like jovial in the postseason or postgame press conference. But then what struck me was at some point when I forgot who asked it, but it was like, was there a little extra satisfaction in tonight's thing, given all this, what's going on this week? And he and Kershaw like had this sort of big grin on his face, and he's like, yeah, a little bit, you know, like it was pretty cool. And then like, what made the presser like sort of shift into another gear was that Kershaw's two kids, his wife and two kids were like, came in the room, and then like you could hear his son like sort of saying stuff from the back. So that kind of like took away from the attention. And so they just went up with Kershaw, and they were like adorable as hell. And it was really funny. And then at some point, Andy McCullough of the Times, when Kershaw's holding both of his kids, and he goes, can you ask Charlie and Kelly, if they thought you should have pitched the ninth inning? And that was funny. And then his daughter, Callie, goes, no. And then Kershaw's like, see, she knew, you know, like it was like a really funny moment. Like, you don't get that a lot in these, you know, there's sometimes they're kind of tense, but it was pretty funny, like given the context and all that. So, you know, it'll be interesting to see, because the, you know, if they're able to sweep, or even if they're able to win in four games, and say Rich Hill's going in game four, then the Dodgers do get to like set their rotation how they want. You have the time to do that. And I think it's just going to probably be the same order, I would imagine. You know, maybe, yeah, I guess it'll be interesting, because you do have options there. Like, if you really think Ryu is better at home and they're playing the Brewers, do you hold him to game three? And then that way you have Kershaw, Buehler one and two. Buehler would be on regular rest in game two if he pitches. Actually, he'd be on regular rest in game one. He'd have an extra day in game two. But let's say they keep the orders somewhat, and then but I don't know what they're going to do. But they have options, so it's always better to have the options. So we'll, like I said, we'll get to that when it gets to that. But of course, they're sort of previewing the game five of a suddenly tight NLDS, or previewing an NLCS against either the Rockies or the Brewers. There's options abound, but that's the world of when the Dodgers give you two shutouts, and they, you know, they're in a good place right now. So we will talk to you next week. Thanks for listening, everybody.